yourself a song to sing, and sing it till you're done. Yes, sing it hard and sing it well. Send the robber barons straight to hell. The greedy thieves who came around and ate the flesh of everything they found, whose crimes have gone unpunished now. Walk the streets a screaming now.
Greetings, all you 99%ers. This is your host, Dr. Jack Rasmus, the show, Alternative Visions. Got an important show today and some interesting guests. We're going to talk about the upcoming Democracy Convention in Wisconsin here next week. And, of course, the bigger topic of the retreat of democratic rights in America that's been going on well over a decade, but seems to be accelerating here on a number of fronts. Extremely important. Can't make change without democratic rights, without civil liberties, and they're under attack everywhere from all directions, and it will only get worse. Okay, so my guest today, I'll introduce them briefly in just a moment, but I want to make a comment on a recent article I just wrote on an economic topic. And that is the revisions to U.S. gross domestic product that were reported today. I believe my first of two articles on that topic are now up on the Progressive Radio Network's posting. So you can read the first one called Economic Recovery by Statistical Manipulation. You can also go to my blog, simplyjackrasmus.com, J-A-C-K-R-A-S-M-U-S.com, and you can read the article there. And I just wrote a postscript to this particular piece called Postscript to Economic Recovery by Statistical Manipulation. Now that the GDP numbers were released this morning with the major revisions in them, which boosted GDP statistically. Not that we got real recovery going, but, you know, if you can't get real recovery, then you just define your way to real recovery. Just a comment on that. As I indicated and have been forewarning since this past spring that these revisions were forthcoming, and these revisions would boost GDP artificially. If you look at GDP, gross domestic product in U.S., really growing barely 1% over the last three quarters until this second quarter, April to June. So in other words, from last summer through March of this year, GDP was barely growing. Fourth quarter was down to 0.4%. First quarter has been downward revised, in fact, to 1.1%. We had an artificial boost last summer because of defense spending before the election. So we're growing at actually about 1%, and if you properly adjusted for inflation, not conservatively the way the government does, we'd be well less than 1%. Well, the Reuters International News Agency polled professional economists, dozens of them, and they all believe that we would not grow more than 1% this last quarter, April-June. Well, voila, the numbers come out. Growing 1.7%. How the heck did that happen? Well, as Reuters commented this morning, it's because of the revisions to the definitions of GDP. That's how we got the boost. And last year's calendar year's barely 2% GDP growth rate is now 2.8%. Wow, we're getting a 30% plus boost to GDP simply by redefining it. Well, that's one way to make it look like you're doing better than you are. As I pointed out in my first article here, why are they doing this? It makes GDP as a percent of gross domestic product look better than it really is. In other words, the debt is going down, the debt load is going down when you raise GDP, it makes it easier for the Federal Reserve to start tapering, in other words, start reducing the $85 billion a month that it wants to do here, because all this quantitative easing by the by the Federal Reserve is starting to cause more problems than it's worth globally. Speculation is running rampant, stock market's booming, bond market, junk bond market's booming, et cetera, causing a lot of disruption. So they want to taper it, but, you know, you've got to make it look like the economy's doing better than it is. And that's what's behind all of this. Okay, so read the contributions, which is, I believe, which are up on the PRN posting here, and or go to my blog and read those two items. Economic recovery by statistical manipulation. Okay, let's get on to the subject matter at hand here. I have two guests. One, Sherry Honkala, who is also a member of the Green Shadow Cabinet formed this past spring, as is yours truly, the Shadow Federal Reserve Chair. And Sherry is also a longtime advocate for all kind of people's rights and welfare rights and so forth, co-founder of the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign, long-term activist for many progressive causes, human rights and housing rights and so forth. And I also have David Cobb, who is chair of the Commission on Corporations and Democracy in the Green Shadow Cabinet. David is an attorney and a member of the National Leadership Team to Move to Amend. Those of you who don't know what Move to Amend is all about, it's a national movement to amend the U.S. Constitution to, among other things, get rid of this thing called Citizens United Supreme Court decision, where corporations now are people and can spend as much as they want on their candidates. And the billionaires are now coming out of the woodwork like the lice and engaging in all kinds of distortions of the democratic process going on. So Move to Amend is get rid of this idea that corporations are persons. What a ridiculous notion. Corporations are persons. Way back, slipped into the legal framework way back in the 1880s. It wasn't even a decision by the Supreme Court, but simply the discussions in the minutes led to leveraging that discussion and corporations and got themselves defined as persons. Okay, we won't get into that detail, Citizens United. Presume you know about that, but other restoring democratic rights, not for corporations, but for people. David's been very active in that. Welcome, Sherry and David. You both there?
This is David. I'm here.
Okay. Sherry, you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Very good. All right. We got the topic today is this upcoming democracy convention. Finally, people are getting together, hopefully, at the grassroots for a national convention to fight for democratic rights. Hopefully, we're getting beyond this bane, as I've said, of American progressive politics, all this single-issue stuff that keeps everybody divided. We need a national convention and unite everybody around their particular issues and agree to work in areas where we can work, and where we disagree, then okay, so we disagree, but let's work where we can work, and certainly everybody should be concerned about democracy, because if democracy disappears in this country, then how can you actually do anything to elicit change? And we see today this tremendous attack growing, as we have a corporatization of the system in the United States, the political system in the United States. I've written about that in my my pamphlet, America's 10 Crises. Okay, we have attack on voting rights, right and left, all over the place, across many states, North Carolina, everywhere. Attack on association rights, unions, and so forth. Spying and surveillance. Well, we all know about that. That's in the news every day, isn't it? The Bradley Manning case, the Snowden case, and so forth. We have individuals frustrated with the media not reporting the stuff that's going on with the government and its fighting of wars with everyone in the world. We've got Citizens United. We have ALEC, American Legislative Exchange Council, where corporate billionaires are now writing the legislation and handing it to state legislatures to simply pass. You know, you don't have to lobby anymore. You go in and write the stuff yourself. Why even have lobbyists? And you pay for all these legislators and their staff people that come to these conventions in Hawaii and everywhere, and you wine and dine them and say, oh, here's the template for what we want for destroying, you know, union membership and so forth. And, of course, the Supreme Court making an ever-increasing rightward corporate turn under Roberts, revolving doors and so forth. I could go on forever, but we know that democracy is under big attack. Okay. David, what's your take on this attack on democracy, and where do you see the key areas of fight going on, and why is this democracy convention important?
Well, you know, Jack, I think it's important that we recognize that the word democracy coming out of Greek means the people rule, or the people have the power. Well, you have correctly identified the fact that we have a corporatization of every aspect of our society, every sector of society, every institution is literally being corporatized. And then to go one step further, we have to confront the sobering reality that we need a democracy convention to gather people, because that's what historically political parties have done. They've been the place where we come together nationally to say, well, we have a program or a worldview that we come together. And today, the sobering, frightening reality is that both major establishment political parties have converged on the idea of supporting capitalism in its late stages, as it is ever more in an increasingly acute imperialist mode, and is actually turning on the people in the nation as well as the rest of the world. And it is up to we, the people, to come together across sectors, across issues, across race and gender, and recognize that we have way more in common with one another than the ruling elite of the two political parties, as well as Wall Street America and the big bankers and the corporations that are running the country. So I joined Sherry Hunkela and a host of other people to put together the mechanisms that we need to begin the process of coming to some political alignment, some clarification on both what the problem is and what the solution is. Because at the end of the day, Jack, you named it. The solution is a broad and deep democracy movement that cuts across issues and recognizes that the real issue is power.
Okay, so this convention is occurring where and when, and how can people find out more about it who are listening?
Sherry, you want to go, or should I keep going?
Yeah, keep going.
Okay, so the Democracy Convention is happening in Madison, Wisconsin, of course, the site of the Wisconsin Uprising, where workers and organized labor and students and people of color and folks fighting against the prison industrial complex and basically everybody who's been involved in civil society was forced to take over the state capitol just a few years ago. So it's fitting that we go back to that scene of an uprising. And it's happening the weekend of August 8th through the 11th. We have an amazing network of different groupings. We have groups working on race and democracy, the corporation and democracy, media institutions and democracy, defense and democracy. In other words, the big sectors are coming together to try to cohere this idea of a people-powered democracy movement that recognizes that we have to work together where we can agree to build this kind of movement. And so if folks are interested, please register online, www.democracyconvention.org. It's August 8th through the 11th, Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay, so this is open to the public, or is this an invitation to groups and participants only event?
No, it's open to the public, and of course we welcome the folks from across the political spectrum, across different ideologies. If at the end of the day you recognize that the corporate boot is on your neck and you'd like to work with other people who are not just complaining about it, but designing strategies, tactics, and techniques to actually not only get the boot off our neck, but actually shift the entire notion of how power operates in this country, we want to invite you to come and participate.
I know that the Green Shadow Cabinet members are very much advocates of defending democracy in the U.S. What do, as a member of the GSC Green Shadow Cabinet yourself, David, what do you anticipate or hope will be the conclusion or outcome of this? Is it just going to be folks gathering and talking about the problem, or is there going to be some effort at some kind of rudimentary or beginning organizational effort?
Well, I hope the latter, Jack, and I hope that Sherry, who's been in the trenches on this, moving from convergence to coherence, might jump in here. But I'll just say, for my purposes as a commissioner in the Green Shadow Cabinet, I recognize the Green Shadow Cabinet to be a parallel structure because the current cabinet, the Obama administration, is completely bought, paid for, and controlled by corporate America, Wall Street, and the big bankers. We need our own institutions. We need a Green Shadow Cabinet. We need a new political party. We need new institutions that work for us. I know Sherry is working up the World Court of Women on Poverty. That is another example of it. The reality is that there are parallel institutions that are beginning to be formed that, frankly, have their roots in the Green or the Committees of Correspondence that led to the American Revolution, that were part of the White Rose Society, that were part of what became Philippines People's Power, Vaclav Havel, and Czechoslovakia. The reality is this, Jack, that I hope that we continue to build our own institutions that are not beholden to Wall Street America, the big corporations, and bluntly, the two establishment political parties, which are actually part of the problem.
Sherry, what do you hope to see as an outcome from this forthcoming convention?
I think we're already beginning to see it, and that's why I'm really excited that the Democracy Conference in Madison, Wisconsin, I mean, we call it a conference, but it's not really a conference anymore. It is a convergence. It's all these different scattered struggles that are beginning to come together and look at the fact that gone are the days when we can just get folks together in buses and go and try and lobby our congressmen, that the real deal is that because we don't represent corporate America, we really don't care. We don't matter anymore. And so, you know, we're not going to invest all of our time and our energy going somewhere where, you know, where only the wealthy and the powerful matter in this country. And we're beginning to come together and figure out how do we keep our soldiers alive on this planet while we build the kind of movement necessary to change things. And the question of today is democracy when it comes to elections, when it comes to bread and butter issues, when it comes to, you know, civil rights, when it comes to economic, social, and cultural rights. The name of the game today is it's either going to be all of us or it's going to be none of us, because even the planet is at stake right now. And I'm just excited because I think that people have finally come to the realization that we can change this thing if we get together.
Will the members of the Green Shadow Cabinet attending this, and I know there is a large number who will be, unfortunately I won't be able to myself due to previous commitments, but are they in agreement on the proposals that they'd like to bring up in this convention, or is this just a series of workshops? I guess I'm thinking from my own union days, the union conventions, the locals got together and proposed certain motions and resolutions to the convention to try to get them adopted, and not just statements of principle, but you know, to fund certain activities and organizational efforts and so forth. Is this going to be more like the latter, or will it be like a lot of you see progressive conferences where people just come and they talk to each other and then they go home and nothing happens?
Well, I think that the cabinet itself and many of the participants that are at the Democracy Convention are not just the talk the talkers, but are the ones that actually walk the walk. And so I definitely know when I get off this radio show today, I'm on another Green Shadow Cabinet conference call, and one of the things we're going to be talking about is how do we move some of the suggestions that come out of the Democracy Conference. So it's definitely about, you know, putting forward our vision and our ideas about what kind of world we'd like to live in, and then beginning to get together and, you know, start living this way. I know that in some of the economic democracy workshops, and members of the shadow cabinet are talking about the fact that we've got to get together and start, you know, taking the land, start growing our own food, start distributing it, start feeding people. We've got to experiment in different ways in which we can keep people alive while we're fighting to reclaim, you know, if we ever had it at all, democracy in this country.
Well, you know, let me just throw my two cents in here. I'm a longtime advocate of action, and as this show is entitled, Alternative Visions. In other words, as I said many times on intro to this show, it's time to stop just talking about the problem and doing something about it. And what are the visions of different people out there in the grassroots when it comes to doing something about it? I mean, there's no lack of critique of the economic and social and political problems in this country, and they're growing by the day and getting worse. The agenda item of import today is what are we going to do? And we have to stop doing this single issue stuff. I simply refuse to go to protests of 20, 30 people anymore. We're all just talking to ourselves. The only solution is a national conference or convention. But out of that has to come some kind of a common program, agreed to program, some kind of rudimentary beginning organization. Now, I'm not saying political party necessarily at this point, but some sort of organization has to begin to develop. And only when you've done that can you really talk about strategies and tactics. I mean, talk about strategies and tactics before that's putting the cart before the horse. That's the number one issue today.
I think it's important to recognize that there already is convergence that is happening beyond us. And that's, you know, for example, Move to Amend as a coalition did not even exist before 2010. We just rolled over 303,000 active participants with 150 affiliates. The Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign is not just one organization, it's a network of organizations of poor people who are organizing to advocate their own interests outside of the poverty pimps of the nonprofit industrial complex. I mean, I guess it's important to recognize that that's already starting to happen, you know, and the Green Shadow Cabinet is called the Green Shadow Cabinet for a reason. It's worth pointing out that Sherry Hankala is not just a person with impeccable activist credentials, but that she was the Green Party's vice presidential candidate in the last election cycle, because I believe, and I'm just going to say it very explicitly, I think Malcolm X got it right. If you want revolution in this country, which is what we have got to commit ourselves to, it's either the ballot or the bullet. Now, I'm a nonviolent revolutionary, a revolutionary to be sure, but I commit myself to a nonviolent approach, which means that I don't believe that we can get to the peaceful, just, democratic, and ecologically sustainable world I want to live in through the bullet. Therefore, we have to do it through the ballot. Now, it's worth pointing out that there are probably 200 elected Greens across the country right now advocating for a new world and a new way of being. There are at least 250,000 registered Greens who are part of this process. The Green Shadow Cabinet is converging a group of experts from both the grassroots level and the policy level and the activist scholars level who recognizes that there is, it's not just that there's no shortage of critiques. Jack, there's no shortage of solutions to the problem, but until we're willing to confront the fact that capitalism can't solve the economic crisis because capitalism is the economic crisis, and until we're willing to confront the reality that the current two established political parties are actually not just proponents and advocates of capitalism, but are actually tools of exploitation and oppression, we can't cleave the Gordian knot that's got us wrapped up. That's why I think the Green Shadow Cabinet as a parallel structure is an incredibly exciting place, not just for vision, but again, strategies that we can implement right here, right now.
Well, Sherry, does convergence mean the same thing to you? I assume from what David said, correct me if I'm wrong, David, but when you say convergence, you're talking about groups coming together, movements, partial movements coming together. Sherry, is that happening?
It definitely is happening. It's happening all over the country, and it's happening around the world, and I really think that we're on our way. There was a while there that I was concerned that I didn't see, you know, people cross-fertilizing and willing to go beyond just talking about their various different issues, but this thing has really turned around. And I think that the U.S. Social Forum has also played an important role in the maturing and the development of the movement in this country. In Detroit, Michigan, when we had, you know, 20,000 people representing several different issues from around the country, you know, we came together to talk about, you know, what are we going to do? And it wasn't the, you know, the old way of doing things of, you know, how do we get the 20, 30 people together and go down to the demonstration? But again, how do we begin to develop the kind of class identity and class unity in this country so that we're very clear about what it is that we're up against? And I think that, you know, the other side and this current administration has been making it really easy for us to help unify this movement with what's happening with Snowden, what's happening with our civil liberties in this country, with what just happened with the killing of Trayvon Martin, you know, here in Philadelphia, you know, with the closing of the 27 schools and proposing the closing of another 40, that the only way that people get housing anymore in Philadelphia is to come to the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign. And so we're living our lives 24 hours a day as fugitives, taking over abandoned houses in order that women and children don't live on the streets. 2 days ago, a nun came to me with a three-year-old child. The city has been telling me for 3 days now that they were going to get back to me to tell me what should be done with this three-year-old child. Nothing has happened. And, you know, as I said earlier, under this capitalist system that we live in right now, if you're not exploitable, you are absolutely expendable. And, you know, from people working on immigrant rights issues to school closings to the Walmart workers, you name it, we're beginning to come together and make a fight for our lives and make a fight for a different kind of world. And so I'm basically incredibly excited. I see the glass is half full.
Well, do you have any sense that the folks coming to this democracy convention are going to have on their agenda some discussion of convergence in terms of not just participating in public protests or events, but some sort of program and organizational convergence or the beginning of such an effort?
Well, I would say the answer is, yeah. I mean, I think that the answer is yes, with a caveat. That means that those people who show up are going to be able to continue to help participate and shape it. It's worth pointing out, Jack, that this democracy convention, again, it's democracyconvention.org. This democracy convention is actually a series of different conferences. One on race and democracy, one on the Constitution and democracy, one on defense and democracy, one on media and democracy, nine different interrelated, interconnected conferences that what make up one big convention. There is going to be a final day of strategy that happens on Sunday. I think it's also worth pointing out that we have, I believe, over a dozen members of the Green Shadow Cabinet actual participating on panels and leading workshops. In addition to that, you've got some towering figures. Gar Alperovitz, who's one of the key leaders in the new economic paradigm. You've got folks coming in to discuss the public banking option, where we actually democratize the money supply. You've got folks coming in to talk about local community currency and food sovereignty. As Sherry had mentioned, you know, both producing and distributing food outside of the corporate model. I mean, all of these things are actually on the table to discuss as best practices. But again, the idea of creating a program out of it, which is really the next step, I mean, that's historically what political parties have done. The Democratic Party and the Republican Party have basically both converged on an agreement that capitalism will be the program. It remains to be seen if there is actually going to be an electoral arm of this growing movement. As Sherry says, there are so many forces in motion right now. That's fantastic. And the question is, are the forces in motion both aware of themselves, their relationship to each other, and this historic moment? Because this historic moment, let's just be very blunt, is called late-stage capitalism. Capitalism is turning on itself because there are no more markets and there are finite resources. And then lastly, as Sherry said, with the advent of robotics and electronics and such, they don't even need people to exploit from their labor. There is a growing underclass that's being created by the very economic political model that we're living in. It's going to, the question remains for our generation, are we just going to complain about it, or are we actually going to devise a program, a platform that works coherently together to actually take real power in this country? And I appreciate Sherry's words, to take power for the first time, because for a lot of white people and middle-class people, this idea is that this is a new phenomenon. Well, it's new in this sense. It's getting worse and starting to affect them. But poor people, people of color, queers, immigrants, you know, they've been under the boot from the jump in this country and have been and knew for a long time that there was an actual democracy. But this is an opportunity for us all to come together and actually learn how to practice real power collectively together, really for the first time in the history of this country.
Well, let's hold that thought, David. We need to take a break here, but I want you and Sherry to think about this idea of convergence and how it gets defined in a number of dimensions here. One, of course, people who are fighting together, coming together, and sharing their experiences and so forth. But you know, my own bias is until that convergence takes a programmatic and an organizational expression, we're still going to be at a pretty low level of opposition here. Okay, so think about that. Sherry, come back. Tell me, you know, I'm sort of pushing both of you to think about convergence in organization programmatic sense. And let's take up that topic when we come back. We need a little break here. This is Alternative Visions, Jack Rasmus. We'll be back in a minute. This is your host, Dr. Jack Rasmus. The show's Alternative Visions. My guests are Sherry Honkala and David Cobb, and we're talking about the upcoming Democracy Convention in Madison, Wisconsin. That will begin the week of August 8th. For listeners who want more information, go to www.democracyconvention.org and find out more about it. Okay, we left at the break where I threw out this challenge of what does convergence really mean? Is it just grassroots movements sharing experiences and maybe jointly participating with each other, or does it mean something at a higher level? Organizationally and programmatically. Let me throw out for you a metaphor here of union organizing. In an earlier life, for more than a decade, I was a union organizer and local president of some unions myself. And from my experience, I remember the following. One, workers oppressed treated shabbily, no increases in wages, no benefits, no job security, no dignity, whatever. You can bitch and moan all you want. You can go to the bar across the street and you can share experiences and complain and maybe even jointly talk about, well, let's go ask the boss for a raise and so on and so forth. But until that situation moves to a higher level, in other words, the workers themselves says, let's form a union, i.e. organizational. Let's take that next organizational convergence step and form a union, and let's have a program. What's the program? That's our demands for wages, benefits, whatever, on the company. Until you get to that point where you unite convergence at a grassroots level with convergence organizational and programmatically, it's difficult to deal with the opposition. Now, that doesn't mean just getting a union contract is the be-all and end-all any more than just running for office and forming a political party at that level is a be-all and end-all. The union must continue to fight at the grassroots, the workers themselves, daily on all fronts. And that's kind of like what convergence is politically, fighting on all fronts, organizational, electoral, non-electoral, grassroots movements, so on and so forth. But unless you have organization and unless you have a program of what you're all agreeing to fight for, it's easy to get dissipated, a.k.a. look at Occupy, a good example of that. Now, the AFL-CIO has just announced that its convention in September, they will be moving or attempting to discuss a new kind of organization in which community groups become members of the AFL-CIO, Sierra Club and so on and so forth. Now, you can treat all those groups as being too reformist, whatever, and many are. But this has some potential only import, because it may mean a new organizational structure. Now, if it means just closer lobbying together and turning out the vote for the Democrats, then, of course, it will mean nothing. But it's, I believe, an expression of groups beginning to realize that under tremendous attack and increasing attack, the need for some new form of organizational activity, as well as common redefining of program in order to keep people together and moving as a group in a united way in defending themselves. Okay, Sherry, that's a mouthful, I know.
Well, I got a mouthful too.
Convergence. Go for it.
Yeah. Well, I think the key in whatever formation, what we need in this country, goes back to this idea of independence. You know, what the AFL-CIO intends to do, or any other formation or convergence, the real deal is that, you know, our country and the world is owned by corporate America, and unless we determine that the people are more important than corporations, it's not going to matter whatever kind of formation. And the history of organized labor in this country and nonprofits that are aligned with the Democratic Party, both unions and nonprofits, and they have continued to keep these alignments so that we never see any kind of real change in this country. And even though something, you know, barks like a dog and looks like a dog, sometimes it's not really a dog. And, you know, so many of these various different so-called progressive formations and organizations are really just about ensuring that we continue to have, that they continue to have the social control, because folks are very aware that people are beginning to move, and it's like a sleeping giant right now in this country. And like they say, I mean, you can fool people's heads, but you can't fool their stomach. And I think, you know, I keep coming back to Kensington, where I live, because I think it's a great example. There used to be tons of factories here, and Mother Jones walked from here to New York to talk about children losing their limbs because of the exploitation in the factories. But if she was alive today, there would be no factories to march from. And so there's this growing equality of misery that's beginning to happen. And I think that before we can have some real convergence in this country, we have to have a common estimate of what it is that we're up against. And I think that some people still think we're dealing with a teddy bear, and we think it's a grizzly bear. And the only way to have to move towards that common program is through regular political education and some form of propaganda, like the show that we're on here now, or like what we do here in Philly and other parts of the country where we have, you know, regular biweekly educations on what is the path, what is the road to revolution. And I think that the Green Shadow Cabinet, it's an opposition cabinet. I mean, well, this is a brand new kind of formation to have in this country. I think maybe it's been tried a couple other times before, but this is forcing us to come together as a class and begin to write out, debate, and have real discussions about, okay, let's say we're in charge, how would we handle this situation? What is our vision? What would we like to see things look like? You know, we've got, you know, hundreds of years of experience in talking about how horrible things are. But I think that not only, you know, I mean, what's the attacks on organized labor right now, you talked about that. But I think that organized labor for the first time is also, like you said, the AFL-CIO is talking about having different community groups begin to join. But you see it in all different kinds of formations as well. Like here in Kensington, you have, you know, the teachers that are being cut. And you have the poor here in Kensington. And you have members of the firefighters union who they're, you know, closing down the firehouses. And so people are deciding to come together. Now, have they decided what that formation is yet? Have they decided, you know, what kind of common program they have? You know, these are big things. But we can, there's a variety of resources that are out there right now, and they speak of independence, and whether that's through the Green Party, the Green Shadow Cabinet, this push towards independence with, you know, Move to Amend or the U.S. Social Forum. I think that we just have to not be fooled in this process and really make sure that we stay on this independent track. And I think that we're going to get to this eventual larger convergence, again, out of necessity.
Well, you won't find any greater supporter than myself when it comes to the subject of independent political action. I totally concur with you that trying to reform the Democratic Party is a hopeless cause.
They're very sneaky, though, right? Because
they
come in all shapes and colors, particularly in the anti-poverty world.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, there is a progressive left wing of the Democratic Party, which is getting smaller and smaller and less influential every year since the Democratic Leadership Conference, the corporate wing of that party, took over in the late 80s, and now it has such total control of that party, it doesn't even have to exist as a faction, the DLC, anymore. It is the Democratic Party. But, you know, folks still believe they can be reformed from the inside out, and they're intentions are good, but their naivete is even greater than their intentions. Anyway, you know, I totally agree with you on that one. And I totally agree that all across the country now, there are all kinds of grassroots movements beginning to arise and trying to fight back, whether it's you know, against poverty, against low wages, and housing, and all the other issues, racism, you know, raising its ugly head again, attacks on democratic rights and voting rights and so forth, all over the place. There's no lack of problems. There's no lack of, I wouldn't say individual, but localized responses to the problems. But as my major theme I've been trying to express here is that until you converge those, not just on the level of exchanging experiences, which is important, but until you get to a point that you can say, okay, we can't do it ourselves individually, we got to do it collectively, how do we work together, let's lay out a common outline of a program, which leads to what are objectives, which leads to questions of strategies and organizations. Until that happens, until there is some kind of a real national convention where these real grassroots movements come together and say, okay, let's work together and put aside the differences and so forth, I think it's a divide and conquer, and they've got us so divided on single issues everywhere that conquering is easy. And, of course, that's the situation we're in right now. So, anyway, I just hope that the Green Shadow Cabinet comes up with a kind of a rudimentary programmatic statement, and that its members will push with others for some kind of a national convention and organization. Comments?
David?
David? Oh, I think we may have lost David. Okay.
Oh, goodness.
Okay. Well, Sherry, the ball's in your court.
Sure. I mean, I think that's definitely the direction that we're headed in. You know, first we had to go through a very serious vetting process to look at all the different cabinet members and to really make sure that they're, you know, independent and really want to move this thing in a new direction. And, you know, and then all of us, none of us have done this before. So, you know, we've been trying to look at, like, what's happened in Mexico and Canada, in Europe, in Egypt, you know, different examples of opposition cabinets and what steps did they take and what role and purpose did they serve. And so, you know, all of us are having to be pioneers in this process, and I think that you're correct. I mean, you know, the real fight's going to come when the Green Shadow Cabinet begins to polarize things in every single institution and organization that's out there and really challenges all of these unjust laws and, you know, puts out our program. We're going to have something that we're all going to be able to latch on to and to figure out whose side is on what. And that's really where people are confused right now. It's pretty hard to, you know, move our class towards some kind of class unity when people are very confused and still don't understand that, you know, the one corporate party that's basically merged together in this country doesn't represent their interests.
I concur with you, absolutely. It's we're learning as we go, right? You know, you mentioned Egypt in this. You know, it's in the news. I've had guests on who were eyewitnesses to the Egyptian Revolution in 2011 and who went back there last year and talk about the current events. And one common thing that that the most astute guests have indicated is that the secular progressive forces in Egypt are just not organized. The army, of course, is very much organized. The Islamic Brotherhood was organized. And the unions, the workers there, engage in strikes and struggles here and there, but they aren't organized as a political force, so that what you see, my analysis of the recent event there, is that the two organized factions, the Army and the Islamic Brotherhood, are converging in a bigger and bigger clash with each other. And the unorganized element, the popular democratic forces, have not had a national convention, have not come up with a program, have not really developed an organizational network throughout the country to deal with the other two forces. So the other two forces, the Islamic Brotherhood and the Army, are manipulating, using the popular forces, who are a junior partner in this three-way fight going on over there. So it's not just here. It's everywhere, of course. Nonetheless, notwithstanding all that, doesn't change the need, I think, for a higher level of organization and program in order to deal with this. But as you say, it will come. It will come. I'm just hoping that the Democracy Convention is another step in that direction. I know the GSC is aware of the need for all this, but it is not, quote, the movement in and of itself.
Right.
And cannot substitute itself. And I'm a strong opponent to these efforts by intellectuals to get together and declare a new party top down. And no one comes, you know. It's got to be a grassroots thing from the bottom up everywhere. But at some point, this kind of gathering and centralizing and uniting has to occur eventually at some point. So the reason for bringing you and David on was to give us your take on the Democracy Convention. Is it a step on this road? And I'd probably like to have you both back after the convention to tell us, you know, what's happened there.
I think that's a fantastic idea.
Yeah, and of course, other elements. By then, we will have a bigger picture of, you know, is the AFL-CIO finally orienting in a serious way to community organizations, or is that, as you say, potentially just another cover for let's. Cooperate more in getting Democrats into office. If the latter, then it's a waste of time. But we shall see as that unfolds as well at that particular level. Anything further you would like to share with us, Sherry, about what's going on in terms of the GSC Green Shadow Cabinet and or other efforts of the GSC to join forces with Democracy Convention-like events, so forth, going forward? I know the GSC is very active in the Trans-Pacific Partnership Free Trade on Steroids effort that Obama is pushing on a fast track. And I just read an article in the Business Press that they're predicting that the TPP will get passed this year. You know, we've lost millions of jobs as a result of NAFTA and China free trade, and now we're going to have this massive free trade agreement followed by one in Europe, probably, and that's going to gut the U.S. economy even more. What's the GSC doing? I know you're active in this TPP thing.
I know that members of the cabinet have developed are working with people across the country that are working to oppose the TPP. And I know that there's proposals that are going to probably be put forward at the Democracy Convention. And I just want to encourage any of your listeners today, if they go to the Green Shadow Cabinet, there's an events page. And so if people want to know concretely what are we doing, they can go to the Green Shadow Cabinet and check those things out, as well as they can look at whatever statements have been issued. You know, pretty much, you know, every day or every other day, there's, you know, statements and reactions to the different things that are taking place here in this country and around the world.
And that's greenshadowcabinet.org, one word?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, listeners. GreenShadowCabinet.org, DemocracyConvention.org. Look it up and do something.
Get involved.
Participate. Nothing's going to change sitting around bitching and moaning. You're going to have to get off your duff and actually do something. That's the nature of the period we're in. Do something. Okay. Well, I'd like to thank you very much, Sherry and David, who we lost here, for giving us an initial view. As I said, I'd like to have you back in a couple weeks after the convention to tell us what kind of convergence are we seeing here. Is this an event leading us further down the road, or is it just another talk fest? And next week, we're going to try to get some seasoned, experienced union folks to talk about the upcoming FL-CIO convention and how real is this thing of alliances with nonprofit groups, not just alliances. Is it just another alliance, or is this going to be an organizational thing? Organizational groups, La Raza, NAACP, will they become actual bona fide members of AFL-CIO? Or are they just, is this just another way of, let's get out the vote for the Democrats in 2014? And we'll talk about that next week and follow up with the Democracy Convention. And, of course, I'll be talking about Obama's talk-to-talk tour, where, by the way, my prediction that he's going to trade more spending cuts, Social Security and so forth, for tax code revisions going through. It looks like that's about to happen, news today in the press. All right, we'll be talking about all those in future weeks to come. And thanks again, Sherry, very much, and David, in your absence. And we're going to be talking to you again. This is Jack Rasmus, Alternative Visions. Crimes have gone unpunished now. Walk the streets.